And the attack in Orlando has hit many communities hard across the country, especially the LGBT community. A minority of that group are Muslim Americans who are also LGBT. Myrna Haidar is an activist based in New York. She's originally from Lebanon. She works with the Muslim Alliance for Sexual and Gender Diversity. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, what does Islam teach about homosexuality?
This is an interesting question to start with because, you know, like any monolithic religion, there are tales about, you know, in the scriptures about the people of Lot. And there's a lot of misinterpretation of these verses. We do critical readings of the Quran and really reclaim our narratives and our history. And we strongly believe, and it's, you know, there are a lot of references to it, that the story of Lot does not incriminate, you know, homosexuality, does not say that homophobia is something that our Muslim community should be following, because the Lot, people of Lot were committing bestiality and pedophilia and not love from one person to another for, you know, same-sex love.
So that's your interpretation, but I imagine that across the Muslim world, people are interpreting that very differently.
I mean, yes, correct, like any other Orthodox religion.
But in terms of how widespread is that belief that it is not allowed, that homosexuality is not allowed? Is it 90%? Is it 50%? Is it – what would you say?
To be honest, I cannot give you a percentage. We don't measure these things. But yes, it is true. Homophobia is more felt within our community. But there's no real, you know, cut percentage of, you know, how many of us are homophobic. Like, you know, like other communities, that there, we don't know how many of us are homophobic or transphobic. And we know well that, for example, here in this country is very transphobic, but we don't know the percentage of people who are transphobic.
But in the Muslim community, let's just talk about at the family level. What is it like for somebody who is gay to tell their family, their Muslim family, about that? How does the family typically react?
For many of us, you know, I have to be very, very honest, you know, for many of us, it is very, very difficult, and for many reasons. And reasons are, can go from Islamophobia to homophobia and to patriarchy itself. For example, how does a man need to be or act or look like or who he must love? There are all these pressures on us, but also there are assumptions about, you know, homosexuality within our religion that is also felt. So I will not deny that we do have a lot of work that needs to be done. But, you know, there are things that are not making it to the media. There are families, there are mothers and fathers that we've met who supported their kids, even though they didn't know any better. They did everything they could to support and accept and love their Muslim queer kids.
What do you make of the news coming out of Orlando about the killer, his family, the statements that his father has made about how gays will be punished by God, and so humans don't need to do that, and now the new information coming out about the possibility that he himself was gay?
Correct. And, you know, this statement was hard for us to read by the father, even though he was saying, you know, we shouldn't kill people. For him, he thought he was saying something supportive for our community, but actually denying that we are, you know, part of this, you know, human being that is actually, you know, equal to him, was very hard on us. But also, you know, him, you know, passing and killing these people is a tragedy because he was struggling and he was unsettled with, apparently, you know, I don't know this person, apparently unsettled with who he was in both identities. And we strongly believe that this is a problem, you know. It's not one problem. It's not just homophobia within our community. It's a problem with homophobia, Islamophobia, access to gun, and lack of access to medical and health care for mental illness.
But in terms of homophobia within your community, do you think that this is going to be a turning point, that what just happened is going to start a conversation that may change some things?
Yes, of course. I mean, again, unfortunately, that it took us this tragedy for us to actually have an open conversation about these matters in our community. The discourse is still problematic, of course, because there's still this them and us, or them and, you know, two different communities. And even though they're coming out to vigils, etc., it is still, you know, us and them. And I hope one day that we hear our community, our Muslim LGBT community, by the mainstream Muslim community.
You spoke at the mayor's vigil for the victims of the Orlando attack last night in New York.
Correct.
What was the feeling like there?
To be honest, I'm still reflecting on this. It was definitely overwhelming to be, you know, speaking in front of thousands of people. I couldn't see the end of the line of people, and people were very responsive to the points I've brought up. But at the same time, I was thinking how it is really, really sad that Islamophobia is taking away from the victims, you know, lives, that we need to actually be focused on trans Latina, you know, lives, not anything else, really.
What do you mean by that? Was there heckling last night when you spoke?
Not last night, but there was heckling the day before also at Stonewall when I spoke, you know, when people started yelling, I mean, two of them really, kill all Muslims or Muslims are the problem, arrest them all, here they are.
Hmm. Well, Mirna Haidar, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That's Mirna Haidar, an activist with the Muslim Alliance for Sexual and Gender Diversity.